are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Here it is.
Theology is reality.
Bam, the God Geeks podcast. That is the sound, the intro music. You know you love it because you know it's another episode of your favorite podcast on the planet, the God Geeks. I am Bill Breimer. My Twitter handle is at Bill Breimer. This is my friend
James Cleland, at the James Cleland.
Yeah, he's on Twitter too. You can find us both on there. Website, godgeeks.com, where you can get more information about what this craziness is you're listening to.
Yeah.
And
listen to older episodes too.
You can
if you're
listen
new.
To archives. You can listen to the old stuff. There's stuff.
The classics.
Now, yeah, like it's like written in stone.
Yeah.
It's being passed around, talked about in the Twitterverse. Especially the, and we'll get into this actually in the episode.
Yeah.
There's an episode. This is how geeky we are. This is how strange and wonderful, you've stumbled onto this.
There are stranger things out there, but
that's right. Yeah. That's a hint. There's a podcast on the biblical canon and the Star Wars canon. If you ever wanted to hear about those two things in one place, you can go get
yeah,
it at the God Geeks podcast. We're going to get into that here later in the episode. Really geeky stuff. This is a podcast
mm-hmm.
where we geek out about theology,
yeah.
right? And we also geek out, because we're free in Christ, we geek out about other stuff too that we love. You know,
yep.
music and movies and
comics,
games and comics
yep.
and things that we love to do. I'm a geek about guitar. James is the geek about Gilmore Girls and stuff like that.
I knew you were yeah. going to say that.
I totally outed you, didn't I? That may happen from time to time. I may throw him under the bus, but that's okay because we're
free
all
in Christ.
Friends here. We're all friends here. Yeah, I'm forgiven, right? Yeah, I have the freedom to do this, and it's done in love and sharpening. So here's the thing. This podcast has a new audience.
Yeah, this is
exciting.
A new
official audience today. It's like when I was a kid and we lit this firecracker and it began to spin up in the air and it went over and it landed in the grass and caught an entire field on fire. That's what's happening with this podcast.
Yeah.
It's just going crazy. We're entering into new markets, and so we have to say welcome
yeah.
to the Pirate Christian Radio, Pirate Christian Media listening audience.
Yeah. Ahoy, mateys.
Right. Yeah. Here we are. We're on the ship. We've been invited aboard. They don't know that they've invited aboard a couple of arsonists.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it'll
hide
be
the
okay.
Powder kegs.
We'll make it out of here together. So here's the deal. The shows are broken up into two parts.
Uh-huh.
If you love the theological stuff and you don't care about the geeky stuff, you can go that route.
Part one.
If you love the geeky stuff, you don't care about the theological stuff, you can do that too.
You'll still get some theology.
There's
though.
Two segments. So there's this intro part, right, where we kind of geek out for a minute. But what you're really about to get into is the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
There's the first segment is what we call Jedi Mind Tricks, and that's where we talk about theology
yeah.
and theological things we've been wrestling with, things we've been learning, things that other people have asked us to talk about, and then the second segment of the show is
This Week in Geek,
where we geek out about current things
uh-huh.
in geek culture, movies,
zombies,
any kind of thing that you might enjoy hearing about and have fun listening to. And so that's it. That's an explanation of the show.
Yeah,
welcome to the new listeners. We're glad to have you. Maybe you'll be back, maybe you won't, but that's okay. One way or the other, it's time for Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
This is a segment of the show that we like to call Jedi Mind Tricks, and it is the segment of the show where we get into theological things and we geek out about theology. We love talking about all forms of theology, good and bad. We come from the Lutheran background.
Right.
I am a Lutheran pastor, and James is a Lutheran vicar.
Yeah, as of last
so
week.
So that what's beautiful about that is we get to talk about a lot of things as we both learn more, because God's always teaching, and we're always learning, and so welcome to the segment of the show to all of those out there in pirate Christian radio, pirate Christian media land who are for the first time here in the God Geeks.
Welcome.
And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to throw it to James, because James has been doing some research, some study in certain areas, and we're going to use that today to sort of as a launching pad to get into some good theological things. So what do you got, James?
Oh, man, I feel like I've been drinking from a fire hose the past week. So, yeah, first week officially in seminary and lots of reading. And I guess that the first question that kind of came up in my mind just was this whole concept of the office of the keys and you know, what ordination is and who decides who a pastor is or a preacher is or whatever you want to call it. How does that process work and where do the what does Scripture say about that process? Mm-hmm. So that's the office of the keys is kind of the term, I guess.
You
for
just
that.
Threw out about three or four different directions you could go.
Yeah,
in my way of thinking.
Yeah.
What I love about about theology is so often we can have a powerful, wonderful, beautiful theological concept or idea, obviously based on and coming from God and His Holy Scriptures.
Yeah.
But a way of understanding something, and we can give it a title that's very confusing.
Yeah, office, and I'm confused about it.
Office of the Keys.
Yeah, the keys to what?
Is one of those titles that when you first hear it, you're like, what in the... A janitor? What are you talking about? Like who? A guy? You're talking about a guy with a...
Where are my keys?
A key jam? Well, so let's talk about the word, because this is, if it's something you're familiar with, obviously this will be a little bit of review for you, but there's a lot of people who don't have any idea. They know what this is all about, but they've never heard that term, Office of the Keys, and it's actually for the... For the recovering evangelical, a lot of the people in our context that come to our church, we have a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds that are not of the Lutheran background. And so these concepts and these titles and these ideas are being expressed to them, and they're learning these things for the very first time. And this is one of those things that when you explain it to them, They will say to you, I've actually, when I've explained the Office of the Keys and talked about the Office of the Keys with a Christian, this has happened more than one times. They've said, why are we not talking about this all the time? Like, why am I just hearing about this? And I'm like, I know. I don't know why you're just hearing about it for the first time. So let's talk about, first of all, that word office, because, it's not just the office. We use it Office of the Keys, the Office of Holy Ministry, okay? And I think people could, what comes to mind when you hear office to me is a place,
a building,
somewhere. Yeah,
a
like
room.
A building, yeah.
Yeah.
But really it's
cubicles.
In this context, it's like a... It's a position of authority.
Position,
a position of authority.
Yeah.
And so the office of the president of the United States is, you know, it's an office. Yes, he has an oval office, but that's not what we're talking about when you say the office of the president or the office of the vice president. You're saying his position of authority. And so position of authority of the keys. And your question being the next question, which is kind
keys
of...
Keys to what? Which I would assume is the church, if you will. Would that be the correct...
To the church building?
Not the building, but more... a more universal idea of the church, I guess.
Okay. So
is that correct in my understanding?
So the church, Catholic, small
right,
c.
Right, small c Catholic. Yeah.
Meaning universal or one, you know, yeah. the one body of Christ.
Body of Christ, yeah.
Well, the authority, right. The church has the authority of the keys, and the keys are, what would you think they would be for?
The gate to heaven?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you're onto something there. Well, you know what is? You know, it's funny because to hell too.
Right.
Because honestly, you know, Jesus talks this way, especially in Revelation, where he says, you know, I hold the keys to death and Hades. You know. So and it goes back to the common misconception that hell is a place that Satan rules over.
No.
Hell is a place created by God,
right.
for Satan and his angels,
right.
And it is Christ who has
the keys,
the authority,
yeah.
you know, the power, and who reigns and rules over
amazingly
hell.
Weird concept.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Well, it's opposite of it's very gospelly though. It's opposite of the Saturday morning cartoons that
right,
you grew
right.
up watching. You know, where there's a little devil here and a little angel here, and the devil rules all the evil stuff, and the angel, you know. But it's not that way. And so, yeah, obviously the church has the authority. And what does ultimately the church have the authority to do?
Forgive
sins, yeah. right? And to not forgive sins.
Yeah, that's true. I noticed that in my readings this week.
This is what it comes from. There are scriptures specific to this, right?
Yeah.
In the Gospels, when Jesus essentially ordains the church, says, mm-hmm. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, whatever you set free, that word that we hear a lot of time in Lutheran circles, which hopefully we're hearing, absolution.
Absolution, yeah.
Yeah, it means to unchain, you know, to
right.
unbind,
right.
yeah, to loose. Yeah, so whatever you absolve on earth is absolved in heaven.
Mm.
So whoever...
That's authority.
Well, that's it right there.
Yeah.
Whoever you forgive is forgiven.
Wow.
So the church has the authority... to set someone free or to not. And what's implied in there? That what should we be doing?
Setting people free?
I think so. I think what's implied in there is the power to unchain people
mm-hmm.
from sin, death, and the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, maybe you could probably pick a fight on whether it's power or authority, because I think there's a difference.
Yeah, okay.
But I think you know what I'm saying
yeah.
here, that Christ, because of what Christ, his person and his work, he extends to the church the power of his word, the power of the authority of his word.
Yeah.
You know, he is equipping preachers, is he not?
Yeah.
To what? Forgive people's sins.
Yeah.
And so the office of the keys is one of these sort of, it's one aspect of the gospel, the authoritative gospel power, if you will, of God's people. And when I say it's part of the gospel, what do I mean? What would you say I mean? Like absolution is absolution everything? Is that the whole gospel?
No.
Is that all the good news in the world, that your sins are forgiven?
No, there's lots of good news.
Okay, so
it's that garden to garden that you talk about a lot of time.
Okay,
all things will be restored.
Right. So
yeah.
So the garden to garden. Say that. Say what that means to you. You've heard me
say
garden to garden.
Yeah, okay. Let's see if I can verbalize it. So the garden, being the Garden of Eden, was how things were meant to be. And the garden we're heading, well, Garden Gethsemane, where Christ was.
Okay, right.
Right?
Yeah,
we got a garden in the middle,
there's
too.
There's a garden in the middle there. Yeah,
yeah,
a garden where he is removed from the garden
yeah.
by swords, just like
yeah,
we were
just like
removed
in Eden.
From the garden. Yes. And,
amazing
but,
how that works.
But,
and
but
then the garden that
the
is
ultimate
to come,
garden is, yes.
That is even more perfecter, if you will, which is a weird
right.
concept.
If paradise were... If it were possible for paradise to be better,
right.
that is the second coming.
Yeah.
That is the new reality,
yeah.
the new heaven, the new
yeah.
earth.
New bodies,
new, fully human,
yeah.
as we were always intended to be,
yeah.
gospel. So the kingdom to come, if you
mm-hmm.
will, the reign of God, making all things new in heaven and on earth, the ultimate goal of history that he is moving everything towards is also gospel. So yes, it's absolutely wonderful, blessed, good news, absolution. And if you're not getting that in your church, go somewhere where you will, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Rod Rosenblatt will say that quite often, and he's right. I mean, if you're going to church on Sunday morning and you don't get at least absolution.
Right.
But what I would say to you is, if that's all you're getting, if it's just the law points out your sins and the gospel forgives it, that's a really narrow, small mm-hmm. thing. It's beautiful, wonderful, mm-hmm. true. Yes, the law does absolutely show us our sin, but the law also describes to us a kingdom,
yeah.
right? And the gospel delivers that kingdom to us.
Describes righteousness.
That kingdom is yours. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So I can't talk about one theological concept like the office of the keys and the church and all that
yeah.
without getting to the other stuff, because I think we so often do sell ourselves short
yeah.
of how just crazy, wonderful, beautiful this good news is. But so that's one of the things that you're excited
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, well, you should be, because it's one of the most beautiful, wonderful concepts
yeah.
that I really find that the common everyday Christian, especially American evangelical uh-huh. background Christian, which, by the way, evangelical just means good news. I mean, evangelium, you know, it means good news.
It's a good term.
It's not a voting block in the U.S. I mean, that's what they've turned it into. You know,
it
just means conservative now or something. But it really actually means good news. And so that good news of your absolution, that good news of the kingdom to come, if you're not hearing that good news in your church, by all means, man. Well, if you're in Dallas-Fort Worth, I'd tell you where to go. You could go to Soul Thirst Church, but there's other churches
there are other churches around here who are
giving good news
yeah.
too, and there are hopefully ones all around
yeah.
giving good news every week, all the time, because the gospel is not just one thing that you hear and then you're converted and you don't need to hear it anymore.
No, you need to hear the gospel.
You need it
constantly.
You need the
yeah.
constant. Good news of Christ and his
yeah.
work for you.
Yeah.
You don't need it just described to you. You need that too. You do need the explanation, but you need the proclamation. And that's really what the Office of the Keys gives. It's Jesus giving the church the green light to proclaim.
Yeah.
The good news.
We're
to proclaim. Yeah. Not just this. Don't just tell them what I taught. Do tell them what I taught. Explain to them who I am, but tell them this story is no longer simply a story in history. It's their story. It's
gospel
on them.
Becomes a verb.
Put that story
in that sense.
On them.
Yeah.
That's what he calls his church to do. And hopefully, that's getting done. And so, dear listener, whether you've been with us from the beginning of the God Geeks podcast or you're brand new to us today, here's the good news for you. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And there's nothing you can do merit or deserve that. It's yours freely, given to you by a righteous and holy and loving and peaceful and graceful God. And, accomplished by his son Christ on the cross for you. We preach Christ crucified, not because we're good, but because he's good. And that is what we call Jedi mind tricks.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
This week in Geek, and the title of this segment kind of says it all. And it's what's going on in the geek world this week, what's going on in our geeky lives, what we're geeking out about.
Let me apologize, because you're about to be up to your neck in geek here.
Lots of geek. It doesn't get geekier than a conversation on lightsaber colors, which you sent me a really
and their
cool
significance.
Yeah, their significance.
Yeah, I mean, because you know, evidently. You know, I think there are some pretty like common sense rules here
with lightsaber colors. Yeah.
Well, certain lightsaber colors.
Yeah, yeah. We know red.
And right. That's
I mean. That's an easy
one. Like I mean, you know, when you very first, when you're a kid mm-hmm. and you're seeing the Star Wars stuff for the first time,
yeah,
it doesn't take long to you figure out the red. You're going to be a, you know, you don't even know what a Sith was at that point.
Right.
But you know that's a bad guy.
That's a bad
guy. The bad guys have the red one.
And red is a color of passion in the Sith.
Right.
Passion rule things.
Right, yeah.
Where Jedi, passion is supposed to be in the background.
And so what I'd say is, growing up as a I don't know if it's first generation Star Wars is what would even be called, because growing up watching, you know, at 4 years old, watching it in 1977, actually seeing it in the theater, I don't think I developed this thought this early on, but by Empire Strikes Back, you know, we're only seeing blue, green, and red.
Right.
And
green was so cool to see when that popped up.
Well, yeah. I mean, you were like, whoa, there's
he's got a new lightsaber, another color.
Yeah, there's another introduction.
I have to buy more toys?
Yeah. Well, and it, to me, as I mean, what I will always sort of remember it with is Yoda was green, and, of you know, the lightsaber that, you know, Luke has after being trained with Yoda is green, you know.
Yeah.
And then later on, actually,
Yoda's
lightsaber itself
green.
Was green.
Yeah.
But so the good guys had a green and a blue, and the bad guys had a red. But this goes way deeper than that.
The expanded universe in
right.
Star Wars
yeah,
has
so
lots of other
it.
Colors. So we saw in the prequel trilogy, Mace Windu had the green, or sorry, purple lightsaber.
Yeah, he had a purple
and
lightsaber.
And that was all because Samuel L. Jackson was like, I got to have my own lightsaber color. And George Lucas was like, well, what do you want? He's like, purple. I'll take purple. So that became a canonized lightsaber color, like officially
right.
canon, because
yeah.
it's in the movies now.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to our canon episode yet,
yeah,
you should go back and listen to that.
Yeah, we have go back into the archives have the biblical canon versus the Star Wars canon episode, and
it's geeky.
That's actually gotten a lot of play on Twitter. Like, it can't get any geekier than that, you know. So, so you Lutheran geeks, or you theological geeks of any background,
right?
And Star Wars geeks, if you don't know about the biblical canon, and you theologians who don't know about the Star Wars canon,
right.
you can get it all in one place
right. It's great.
On the God Geeks podcast.
So purple is also a canonical color, if you will.
Right.
Now, in the expanded universe, yellow was introduced in various comics and whatnot, but it also was found in the Knights of the Old Republic video game and became pretty popular in there. And the Knights of the Old Republic video game set in stone, if you will, what the different colors meant at least 3,000 years before the Battle of Yavin.
And to catch you listeners up, you know, James knows a lot more about the expanded universe stuff than I ever will or actually care to. Now, here's the thing. It's not because I'm anti-expanded universe or that these things aren't fascinating to me. I love that. I am just I'm a film Star Wars.
Right.
You know, obviously, you know, Clone
Wars.
I'm
going to get you into some comics.
Oh, no, the Clone Wars. I've got I've got
Rebels
Star Wars comics.
Yeah.
But I've never been as into those things as I am.
Yeah.
Have been the films.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the holy grail to me.
Right.
But I also get that there's a lot more that enters into...
The apocryphal, if you will, Star Wars universe.
As we go... absolutely. As we go forward in the films...
Uh-huh.
They will be rolling in more of this kind of thing,
totally.
For sure. I mean, you can already... Just from the Rogue One trailer, they're already introducing like a whole new element, like a kung fu, you're going to get a lot of...
Force users who aren't Jedi.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously stormtroopers who aren't clones.
Sure.
And, you know, so there's a lot to be unveiled as we go along in the films. But anyway, yellow...
Yeah, so yellow is a particular type of Jedi Sentinel, I think it's called, and they're
right.
more about martial arts styles
and
less about the
Force. And you would typically classify the yellow as good.
As good, typically.
Right.
There could be some dark
users. Let me jump to the
There's some
here.
Other really cool ones.
There is. There's white and there's black.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Black, bad.
Yeah, obviously. Darksaber.
Red, bad.
Yeah.
If you just want the surface, the Cliff Notes version...
Bad. Yeah.
Black and red, bad. The other ones, white could be...
It's neutral a lot of times.
Which, hey, let's bring in some D&D, if you will. Let's
right?
get in some... Let's get some lawful neutral. Let's get some... You know.
Well, that's technically... The white sabers were used by lawful neutral, if you will. So the Empire reforms in the non-canonical now it's non-canonical. Star Wars Legacy series.
Yeah.
It's really cool comics. Right. 100 years after the Battle of Yavin, something like
right.
that. And the Empire reforms,
which is now sort of seen as legends.
Legends, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you have Force users who are kind of bodyguard and law enforcement, if you will, within the Empire. And the Empire's not evil at that time. And they use white lightsabers, and they're really cool.
They're lawful evil.
Yeah,
I have to bring it back.
Lawful
to,
evil. So.
I have to bring it back to D&D.
So true. But yeah, so I always... When I saw the white lightsaber, I was like, I want that. That one's cool.
So, hey, here's what's fun. There's probably some God geeks out there that are maybe even experts on this kind of a thing, and they don't need this explanation. Like, what are you guys talking about?
Let's
you don't know what you're talking about. Well, there's some fun stuff out there.
There
on
is
the
a
internet,
lot. Yeah, dig it.
On lightsabers and the colors.
Rabbit hole you can go down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the things we were giggling about this week, because I sent James a whole chart about... you know, the different colors and what their characteristics of the users of that color lightsaber would be. And I texted him like a lot of information, and his response to me was, "That's interesting. I don't know how canonical it is." Now, it doesn't get any geekier than that. So we were geeking out about that. Now, here's the thing.
You've been geeking out about some other stuff, right?
Well, I have been, and this is like, I realize that I'm late to this party. By all means, but I love to read, but here's the thing. I find that I'm so busy, and the way that mm-hmm. my life is kind of mm-hmm. organized, the times that I have to read, I typically focus it on theological stuff, mm-hmm. because those times where it's quiet. I want to take in the scriptures. I want to take in to the theological things that I'm wrestling with, and I want to investigate and chase those things. And so I haven't found places in my life to consume novels like I've wanted.
Yeah.
And so my new thing I'm geeking out and excited about is audiobooks, because
I've started.
You know, consuming novels in my car and in times where I'm waiting for something.
It's when I mow the lawn.
And I have my phone.
Yeah,
and
all that.
You know, things where I can't. And obviously, I also like to I like to listen to podcasts. I like to listen to theological stuff too.
Yeah.
Of course, now Pirate Christian Media, of course. But one of the things that I've really over the last few weeks fallen in love with is, and because I'm consuming books like crazy now, like novels that I wouldn't get a chance to necessarily read. And I've always loved Cormac McCarthy.
Oh,
and so
what'd you read?
Well, so I mean, I've read this book before, but now I'm
listening to it on audio.
Well, no, Blood Meridian.
Oh, see, I haven't listened to that one.
Oh my God.
Okay, I need
to
add that to my.
Well, so it's his.
Cue.
It's sort of his seminal work,
okay.
because it's And here's the thing, this is a pastor, you know, sort of endorsing this. Here's the thing. Let me caution you. It is the most violent, Western, most gore-ridden, but so well written. Like the phrase. I mean, it's so rich in the language, and it's funny, and it's terrifying, and it's all the things that Cormac McCarthy can do to you, like No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
If you've read that. I mean, they almost copied his book perfectly for the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a great job of copying that for the movie. But anyway, Blood Meridian, amazing, amazing book if you're mature enough to consume that kind of a content. But my next thing is going to be The Road, and I've always been scared.
I listened to that one. The voice actor in it is
amazing. I've always been scared to read it because
I
have a son, and I know what it's about.
It's
and so,
much
and
harder
And I know
after
where
you have
Cormac
a kid.
McCarthy can take you.
Yeah.
So he scares me a little bit. But anyway, that's my new sort of
cool.
geeking out passion is an audiobook. So I'll be able now to sort of every once in a while sort of let people know what it is that I'm reading and what I'm like, you know.
I've got some I want to send your way then, so
okay,
we can talk
perfect,
about them eventually.
Perfect. Now, the last thing we're going to cover on This Week in Geek, and thus the last thing we're going to cover in the show, is some really quick updates on some cool trailers.
Yeah.
Coming
forward. Teasers, trailers,
etc. Yeah, there's a teaser. Well, so, and we've been talking about this. We can't wait for Westworld on
HBO. Yeah, we got a lot more information out of the new trailer.
There's a new trailer. There's you see Ed Harris to actually say some lines, and he is the black-hatted cowboy. Yeah.
Was Anthony Hopkins in the trailer?
Anthony Hopkins is in the trailer.
I forgot he was going to be in this.
Man, there's some great actors in this, and this is going to be... J.J. Abrams is behind it. I will be shocked and really super disappointed if it's not great.
Right.
You know, I feel like it's going to be... Anyway, I think that starts in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's
right
not,
at
it's
the
not
very beginning
off.
Of October.
Yeah.
So we're almost there. And there's another... trailer that we wanted to mention that is not so soon in the making, we love this show. What is it called?
Stranger Things.
And season 2 is coming out when?
2017?
Next year.
Next year.
Yeah, but we know that because...
It's official. They've got a teaser out.
They've got a teaser out.
You thought it was fake at first.
I thought it was...
How could this possibly be real?
Like, some guy just made this on his, you know, his computer.
And it's a very interesting, cryptic teaser trailer. It's got just a bunch of... titles.
Do you remember any of the little things?
Mad Max, the Pollywog. I forget some of the other ones.
And I thought when I saw these things, first of all, when I saw this, you sent me the link like, oh, it's real. It's going to happen. And I was like, this is fake.
Right.
And then I was like, no, okay, it's real. Like they have, supposedly this is official, right?
Yeah.
So what are these things that they're talking about? And I thought that maybe these were just things that came out in 1984.
Right.
Mad Max.
Which I think is true.
Is that right?
Possibly. I need to check that. But I think they're the titles of the episodes. And I think the creators of the show have had this planned out for a while.
Okay.
Which is a good sign.
Yeah.
If they're not the titles to the episodes, it's still intriguing because I think it gives kind of a...
What I'm really intrigued with is, do they go with completely new cast, completely new characters,
other than 11?
I've read
some interviews, and there will be new characters, but there will be all of our favorites,
new
too.
Setting, maybe.
And Barb is not coming back.
Well...
Bring back Barb movement.
I don't
has
care
failed.
Whether you're in the underworld or not. When one of those things crawls out of your mouth and you're purple, like Mace Windu's white lightsaber, you're done. Anyway, that's it, man. We had a few little geeky things.
One other Stranger Things thing. They're coming to town to Dallas to Comic-Con. All the actors.
Big
I'm going to try to go get their autographs at least.
This is going
to
be big time nerd. That's big time geek
that's
news
really
right
nerdy.
There. So do you know when that is?
It's in October. I forget the exact date.
Dallas Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Well, I have to go to this.
Okay.
I've been trying
to get you to go to a Comic-Con.
This will be my first Comic-Con.
Good. Let's go together.
Yeah.
And maybe we could do a recording episode while we're there. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we can do that.
All right, cool.
Maybe some God Geeks will meet us there.
Ooh, that'd be
awesome.
Would
be cool. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, hey, thanks for tuning in. We love you guys. Hit us up on the website, godgeeks.com. Follow us and rate us on iTunes.
Yeah.
Thank you to all the new listeners, who, even though you don't have a choice, you are now listening against your will if you're listening to Pirate Christian Radio. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Follow us, of course. God Geeks.